We're happy to have everybody here with us today. And I know that's kind of ironic because no one is actually here. Although we are recording this so that you can view this at home, hopefully you'll get up tomorrow and have a worship service at your home and be able to view this sermon. We're going to continue looking at church history. And the main thing that we want to focus on in all of this church history, and sometimes we may feel like we're getting bogged down with all the information we're receiving, but the main thing we want to realize is that it makes a difference what we believe. And the reason we say that is because there are so many different doctrines in the world, so many different religious organizations, religious beliefs, that all of them want you to think that what they're teaching is correct. The question is, which one is? And we hold ourselves true to the original text that we read about in the book of in the Bible, and especially in the book of Acts. When Paul recorded for us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Now, we have to look at world history to a certain degree to figure out what religion is true today and where the church actually stands. And so far, we have looked at the history of the church and how it would and how the world would influence it over the centuries. And the main religious body that focuses upon the world, that has been influenced by the world and influences the world, is the Catholic Church. But we want to take a different approach today and look at the Catholic Church, but also look at the early church in Europe. Those of you that are familiar with the Bible, you'll understand that there was a great flood. We read about this in the book of Genesis with a man by the name of Noah who built the ark. After the great flood, scientists tell us that there was an ice age. And when this ice age happened, things began to melt and change. And after that, you have what would basically be the apostolic age. You have Christ coming and everything coming into the existence. And the ice age is in retreat at this time. And scientists would tell us, this is where we get the phrase, a young earth. So the ice age is still in retreat. Even when the apostles are preaching, when the church is established, a lot of the world is still unpopulated because of this ice age and the receding of the flood. In the first century, all of these places may not have been populated because of the receding ice. And there just weren't people there. But you have to remember, Paul stated in Romans 1 and verse 8 that they were spoken of throughout all of the world, throughout the whole world. Their faith had been spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, from Paul, we understand that what he was preaching here was that the truth of God's word had been professed to all parts of the Roman dominions, all parts of the Roman ruling world. That would be the whole world. Included in this whole world would be everything outside of the Roman Empire at that time. And this would include what we would understand to be the British Isles. In the first century, likely many parts of the world, as I stated earlier, were still uninhabited. You would have remote islands and continents like Australia, New Zealand, places like that, where no one would be living. But the world that is populated at this time is going to be the Middle East and the European continent. So here you have Christianity arriving in Europe that is of an apostolic nature. And what I mean by that, it was not Roman Catholic. The Roman Catholic Church did not begin to preach their gospel in Europe until much later. A lot of historians claim that Christianity arrived in Europe in the British Isles in 597 A.D. But you have to remember that Paul, when he made that statement, when he wrote that passage in Romans 1 and verse 8, that's still the first century. So this would be six centuries later that history would teach us that the Roman Church established Christianity in the continent of Europe. And they also teach that the Catholic faith was the origin of Christianity in Europe. Now, when we talk about Europe, the Romans were there. And as the Romans would advance toward Britain, there were tribes that were there, like the Celtics, the Druids, and others that were living in that area. So when Rome moved in, some of these tribes moved off to southern Britain. Now, if you ever look at a map, they divide Britain more east and west, and the inward side of this island is where these tribes moved to. And Rome would take the outer skirts on the Atlantic side. So these tribes would move into southern Britain, and according to historians, now this is a note for all you history buffs, this would be when Stonehenge was created. This would be when the Celtics and Druids came down trying to escape from the Roman Catholic Church, and they created Stonehenge. Now, let's back up just a moment. Before Christianity arrived in Britain, you had tribes that believed in multiple gods. They had paganistic ideas and worshiped paganism. The Romans focused on these Druids and Celtics and other tribes that were there, and even up into Wales on the northern coast of England, of the British Isles, and eventually even into Scotland. Now, their process at this point in time of conversion was much like what we read about in the Nation of Islam. You convert or die. So when the Roman Catholic Church went into these areas, you had to convert to their version of Christianity or die. So that's why you had a lot of these Druids and Celtics that were trying to escape. They were trying to flee the slaughter. And the Roman Catholic Church slaughtered a lot of people in the process of making converts. Some even fled to Scotland, which never became Roman. Now, the earliest record that we have of Christians in Britain is about 37 A.D., Now, that contradicts the Roman Catholic history because they say it was 597. But the earliest record of Christians in Britain was 37 A.D. That's very close to when the church was established in the book of Acts. And other historians will even bring it up to 58 to 63 A.D. And even men like Eusebius, who was a fourth century historian, stated, and some have crossed the ocean and reached the Isles of Britain. So he pointed out there that the Christians from the day of Pentecost, basically, like in Acts chapter 8, when they were scattered abroad, they went home. A lot of them moved and went and took the gospel of Christ to different places, even into the British Isles. And Eusebius points that out here, that some went across the sea or across the ocean and reached the Isle of the Britain. So, it's interesting that you have the Roman Catholic faith, which is the predominant religion in the world today, telling us that they are the original. They are the original messengers of God's Word. But they were not the first. They were never the first. Even when Christians arrived in Britain, history tells us that it had an early Palestinian influence. Now, that goes against everything that the Roman Catholic Church teaches. Now, in the later part of the 4th century, the Christian world is going to be rocked. And what I mean by that is the Roman Catholic Church is going to be turned upside down. We've pointed out throughout this series that every time the Catholic Church wanted to do something or wanted to change something, they would have councils, the Council of Trent, the Council of Nicaea, Constantinople, and others. And they would change the Word of God to suit what they needed. So here you have the Catholic Church about to be faced with changes, and they're going to have a dispute in their faith, and it's going to be something that's going to stick with them even to today, to 2020. You're going to have issues that came up in the 4th century over the doctrine of infant baptism. Well, that's what they still practice today. They had issues coming up over the issue of free will, where men could choose. And in a Catholic church, in a sense, man cannot choose. He must do exactly what the Catholic Church says. But then the big one, I guess, would be the marriage of clergy. They started this because of the dispute in the 4th century. Now, it's interesting. the faith that we preach here at Eastside, the belief that we preach here at Eastside, stems back to Acts chapter 2, and even the message that was taught, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, throughout the pages of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But when you look at the Catholic Church, their faith and their doctrines change and progress over time. And you have to realize, too, that if you did not believe or practice what the Catholic doctrine preached, then they would kill you. You had the Crusades, where the Muslims and the Christians, if you will, fought back and forth over which religion should dominate Jerusalem. And another thing about the Catholic Church, when they went into areas, they would convert the king in a lot of these places, and by right, if you will, when the king became a follower or a practicer of that particular belief, the Roman Catholic Church, then by right, all of his subjects had to follow suit and become Roman Catholic just like he did. So with these three issues, doctrinal issues of infant baptism, free will, and marriage of the clergy, it still has ramifications in the Catholic Church even seen today. Now, I'm not going to preach a long lesson because I know you're at home and watching a video is not something you necessarily want to do. So we're going to close out this lesson by talking about, with the spread of the Roman Catholic Church, there were a lot of doctrinal issues that would plague their worship. And one thing about the spread, it did so with violence, as we pointed out. They forced people to be obedient to the Roman Catholic Church. And that's the way it was when it spread into Britain. When they spread into Britain, all the tribes of the Celtics, the Druids, and others were forced to convert or escape. And as I said, kings would be converted, and then as a result, the whole nation would have to convert to Roman Catholicism. A verse that we need to remember is Jude and verse 3. Here we read, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." So when we have all of these different denominations and teachings and beliefs and everything coming up and telling us that we need to believe them, that we need to be able to trace it back to the first century. If their belief started in 1500 or 1600 or 1800 or even 300, then it's not the truth. It's not the faith that Jude tells us here was written, given once for all, delivered once for all. So as we keep saying throughout this series, it makes a difference what you believe. If you are practicing and believing some religion that in its history forced people to become their followers or die, you know, it's interesting. In all of my years of preaching and being a Christian, I've never seen anyone that was dragged from the back of the building and put up here and forced to be baptized. Not to say I wouldn't like to grab people by the ear and say, "You know, I know you know what the truth is." But we don't walk to the back and under gunpoint or sword or knife threaten them that if they don't become Christians, then we'll have to kill them. You see, it's because, in a sense, it is free will. God allows you to make your decision. The decision has always been yours. No one can force you to become a child of God. The choice is always yours, but it does make a difference what you believe. And that's the purpose behind this series of lessons. So if you decide, after hearing this lesson, that you need to make changes in your life, contact me or one of the brethren here at Eastside, and we'll be glad to assist you in whatever way that we can. Again, thank you for being with us today.